This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
My name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslam. And on Pets Allowed today, we talk about responsible pet ownership.
Now, owning a pet actually requires time, patience, care, and a lot of love.
Kev, you actually have two dogs and you exercise, I think, you know, all four of those aspects of being a responsible pet owner.
That's right. I do actually have two dogs and two frogs.
You have frogs? I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't actually know that about me. Well, I mean, frogs aren't something you take out with you or anything like that. So,
How do they get along with your dogs?
Well, I mean, the frogs are in a tank, so they don't really go near the dogs except when the frogs decide to escape out of the tank. But, you know, definitely I know I spend a lot of the time with my dogs, you know, feeding, cleaning, training, playing. Like, there's so many different things to do with them. And it's just a big part of my life. And it's just, you know, it's great to have them there. And they're such a big part of my life, as I've said. And, you know, I love it. It keeps me motivated. It keeps me getting up in the morning, that sort of thing. To have this, you know, these two dogs that love you unconditionally and just want the best for you as well.
Yeah. But on the program today, we're going to be looking at how to be a responsible pet owner and the fact that, you know, you can love your dogs, but that's not always, you know, enough. So
that's right. There is a lot of things to think about rather than just, I love my dogs. You've got to love them too, you know, as well as doing everything right by them.
Mm-hmm. So earlier in the week, actually on Wednesday evening, there was a program Don't Blame the Dog aired on ABC. This is originally a BBC reality TV program, and on Wednesday's episode, the program actually focused on the Lost Dogs Home. So we'll be off the back of that, we'll be discussing responsible dog ownership today.
That's right. So it did actually feature us from the Lost Dogs Home, and they sent two Brits out. We'll be talking about that shortly. But first, you know, we want to know what you guys think. What do you think makes a responsible dog owner? So you can SMS us 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au, or give us a call 1300 Joy 949.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So also coming up on Pets Allowed today, Alan and I, and Kate as well, will be discussing older dogs in our Q&A.
We preview upcoming dog-friendly events in Dog Dates.
And at the tail end of the program, Kate will draw the curtains open on our Pet of the Week.
But up next, we will bring you up to speed on the news of this week with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap.
Now, do remember, this is week three, as you know, Leah might have mentioned before. So if you've missed our first couple of programs, you can check out our podcasts. They are available on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Just go and check out our program page on there. So, you know, what other things are we going to be talking about today, just aside from, you know, the BBC program, obviously?
Oh, well, I want to really talk about a really survivor of a cat, little cat, 4-month-old, came into the home a couple of weeks back. His name is Percy, and we believe he survived a hit and run, possibly, because he arrived at the home in a bit of a state. He, as a result, you know, had to be operated on, but I won't be giving you all the details yet, so do stay tuned to find out about our cat, Percy.
Yes, don't give away too much yet. You are on Joy 94.9. This is the Lost Dogs Home with Pets Allowed, and we're going to hear from Girls Allowed with Wake Me Up.
Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Now it is time to recap the news of this week. Now joining us in the studio is Kate Holter, General Manager of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
That's good. So Kate and Oz, I believe, what are some of the news stories from this week?
Well, we had the Herald Sun call in this week, and they photographed our own Harry McCleary lookalike. That was as part of their children's mini book promotion that's ongoing in the Herald Sun this week. That was Winston, and he's currently up for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home. So anyone who's interested in finding out more about Winston can contact the home on 9329 2755.
And I believe Winston's actually in the paper today again, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He was photographed with Jasmine and Jackson. I think yesterday was Jasmine and Jackson together reading a Harry McClary book to Winston, but today just Jackson. So he's quite the photograph pet.
He's quite photogenic too. I mean, the photo's quite nice.
And he really seemed to enjoy it as well. He was quite happy to sit there and on their laps and read the book or appear to read the book.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a bit more about Percy.
Okay, so Percy arrived a little while back. Percy's a four-month-old, one-week domestic short-haired mix. And Percy arrived at the home in a bit of a state. He had a broken leg. He also had part of his ear was missing and part of the tip of his tail. So we think that he might have possibly been hit by a car. We're not quite sure, but he arrived in that state, obviously didn't have any sort of contact for his owner, and after some needed treatment, he was also put into foster care, and now Percy is ready to find a home. So we're really pleased that he's in a good state. And whilst he was in foster care, the foster carers had a dog and cat, and he really got along with them well. So he's quite sociable. I've met him, and he really warms to you very quickly. Just an amazing cat, really.
That's great. So, I mean, hopefully he's going to find a wonderful new home. He does have a bit of an interesting look about him because of his accident and everything like that as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's quite a character, and you can sort of see that. And but he is so positive. He's got such a big spirit, and you will feel that when you see him in person. So maybe just, drop past this weekend and say hello.
And you can also check out a little bit more about Percy on our website, dogshome.com. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking more about what's been happening in news this week.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed. We are looking at the news of the week. Now, there were three National Pet Register events last Sunday, so fairly busy weekend for National Pet Register. Kate, now I believe you were actually at the Frankston Pets Day Out. I did see some photos. Now, how was it?
It was a great day, in weather-wise and also attendee-wise. It was good fun to be there. There were lots and lots of pet owners out there, especially with their dogs, and I actually did see someone out there with their cat as well, which is a bit unusual. But the cat was okay, so to make sure I communicate that. We did a lot of microchipping there. We had a lot of people who, were booked in, but also a lot of people took advantage after they saw us there to come and get their pets microchipped. We gave away a lot of free ID tags. And we also had a lot of people come up to us and talk about identification and checking their chips and talk about updating their details as well, which we're really happy to help them with and give them information on how to contact their register, the microchip register they're with, and update their information if they had moved.
Because, I mean, that is a very important part. It's great to have a microchip. It's great to have a tag. But if your details aren't up to date and you can't get someone can't get a hold of you, there's a big issue there, isn't there?
That's right. Yeah.
And just on that note about cats, I think it'd be great to tell people that, that it is cat friendly, really, the service that we offer.
Absolutely. Like, most of the time we are microchipping dogs. That's predominantly who we microchip on at an event. But we do see the odd cat. Like, we had one cat and one rabbit at Frankston, which was good. But we'd like to, I guess, see more cats come down and get microchipped, or more pet owners bring their cats down. And I just want to, I guess, get the message out there that where we microchip them is really, really safe. So they can actually go inside our Winnebago, which is locked and secure, or we always provide a closed area to microchip those cats. So if they do escape, they're in an enclosed area.
How many, give us some stats, how many microchips did we do on that Sunday?
Yeah, so a total of 91 dogs were microchipped across the three events. There were 9 cats that were microchipped, 1 rabbit, and also in total 185 free ID tags were given out.
That's great.
Yeah, a lot more pets out there with a better form of identification. So if I want to find out more about how to register my pet, where do I need to go?
You just simply log on to petregister.com.au. That's the official website for the National Pet Register, and you can get a whole heap of information there about microchipping, ID tags, but also their events. There's a really good events section there that is updated, pretty much every day.
That's right.
And we will be covering another microchipping and free ID tag event on our Dog Deck segment a bit closer to 1 p.m. today.
Pet
Pets Allowed. Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
Now this week, Dr. Alan Bolton, our resident veterinarian, he wanted to revisit a bit of a question that we got from a Pets Allowed listener last week. So Alan, over to you.
Last week we received an email from Karen, who'd lost her little dog and who suffers from anxiety and depression. And she'd been thinking for a long time about getting another dog, but was worried about the effect that her illness might have on him. We answered her question really, really briefly at the time, but I felt it was a really important question and that it deserved a bit more attention. So, Karen, I hope you're listening this week, and I hope this is helpful. I think the first thing I'd like to say is that dogs don't recognise diagnoses. So as long as you're able to care for your new dog, so you can walk him and her, feed him and her, and give him or her attention, they won't recognise any labels. And someone who's at home a lot of the time may actually be a better owner, because dogs like being with you. They like comforting someone who isn't feeling their best, and it's actually part of their job. Having a dog to provide companionship and get you out a bit more may make you feel better as well. I think you ought to think carefully about what sort of dog you get. Probably a middle-aged dog, so that it's quiet, has had some training, and isn't going to surprise you too much. So you'll see what you're getting. I would think you'd be better with a small dog. You certainly don't want a working dog like a Lab or a Kelpie, because they need too much exercise. They're prone to being destructive if they get bored, and that's likely just to make you more anxious and upset. So I would go with a small dog. Again, they're cheaper to own, they eat less, vet bills tend to be smaller, and they're better companions. You know, that's what they've been bred for over the years. Cavalier King Spaniels, for example, they've been bred for about 400 years purely to act as a companion. They sit on your lap, they watch TV, but they'll still enjoy and need walks and play. It's probably a good idea to have someone who can look after your dog if you aren't able to for any reason. Hope this helps you make your decision, and we'd love to see you get a dog again.
Thank you very much for that, Alan. Now, we have actually received an SMS in from Betty. Now, Betty, you know, is a regular to Pets Allowed, and we love...
We know she walks Jordan a lot, actually.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
And what Betty has said about being a responsible dog owner is meaning providing for the needs of an animal and at time putting that animal first. Mm. And she also wanted to say, Jordan says, your show is pawsome.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
So
that's
thank you.
Pawsome of you. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you very much. So coming up after we hear from the Sugar Babes with Stronger, we're going to be talking about responsible pet ownership. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, we did mention earlier about Don't Blame the Dog, so we're going to tell you a bit more about the program. So Don't Blame the Dog is currently on ABC Two. It was played on Wednesday, our episode. It's also going to be replayed on Sunday, I believe, Kate?
That's right, at 7:30 on ABC Two.
Now, Don't Blame the Dog follows the journey of 12 dog owners from Britain and explores their dysfunctional and sometimes destructive relationships with their pets.
The participants range from dog breeders to impulse buyers who genuinely love their dogs but fail to meet their basic to complex needs as responsible pet owners.
Now, the show is aiming to challenge the attitude and behaviour of irresponsible dog owners, with each participant given a bit of a reality check as they spend a couple of weeks, with experienced handlers. Now, the episode that we're talking about was obviously filmed at the Lost Dogs Home. And, you know, you can catch it on iView as well. It is available now. So tell us a bit more about it, Oz.
Well, this Wednesday, we saw two of the participants, Mishak and Amy, spend a week at the shelter, seeing the realities, basically, of the ins and outs of the shelter staff and just the practical day-to-day operations.
Now, we want to know, did you catch the show? Let us know, 0427 Joy 949. Let us know what you thought if you actually watched the show. Now, Kate, you're probably the best person to speak to about this. You know you were here when the show was filmed. Yeah. How did this all come about?
Well, we were actually approached by the BBC. They came to the Lost Dogs Home, and they were at that stage firstly scouting for a location or for organisation or people to take part in the series. And then they came back and in June, it was June last year, because it was winter. I remember it being very, very cold. Mm. And they filmed the show at the Lost Dogs Home, and we were just really happy to have that opportunity to get our message out there. For us, it really showed the day-to-day challenges and issues that we face with irresponsible owners. You know, it's ongoing. We have to face it every day we get up, and there it is again. It also, I guess, showed through Mishak and Amy that dedication that it requires to be an owner. You really have to commit. It's 15 years and, you know, you just can't give up on your dog, like especially when things go a little bit wrong or haywire. That's when you really have to dig deep and solve the behaviour problems. And just generally what irresponsible behaviours that we see on a regular basis at the Lost Dogs Home. So I hope a lot of people took a lot away from watching the show.
Definitely. And I think, Alan, you were in the program, and I suppose you can give us a bit of an insight as to how closely the home worked with these participants over the week.
It was a pretty intense experience. They were there for the whole week, you know, the whole day, and the film crew were there as well. We got to know Meshach and Amy quite well, and it was quite an emotional experience at times. I actually put a very ill, abandoned little old dog to sleep on as part of the filming, and Amy got very, very upset.
Yeah, she did.
But overall, I really enjoyed watching it. And there were parts of it that we didn't see. Like, we didn't see how they behaved when they went home. And the fact that they actually learned a lot from the experience, and it really changed their behaviour and made them and their families and their pets much happier.
So just quickly, what was the reaction like? Well, did people really like the show? What kind of feedback were we getting?
Oh, we got quite a lot of positive feedback. It was shown early this year in the UK, and when it was shown, we got a lot of positive messages on our social media sites. People saying, "Well done, guys! You just do an amazing job," and also wanting to come over and volunteer and help when they were travelling to Australia next. And then when it's actually being shown this Wednesday, and it'll be shown again next Sunday, we got a lot of also positive messages on our social media sites, also a lot of emails as well. So that was, it was really encouraging. We've shared all of that, of course, with our staff.
Okay, so yeah, I think, you know, we did sort of take away a lot from that experience, and I think the participants did as well. So now we're going to be talking, well, shortly about the basics of responsible pet ownership. Stay tuned.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, today we are talking about responsible pet ownership, specifically focusing on dogs. Now, of course, this is a very big, multi-layered topic, and we're not going to attempt to cover it all in today's program. We're going to take some opportunities to talk about it at other times as well. But Oz, what are some of the things we need to start with? Where do we start?
Well, I think we really should look at the basics, like the bare minimum of what people should be doing with their pets, particularly their dogs.
Yep.
So, okay. I mean, I was just going to say, with Don't Blame the Dog, which we're talking about as well, the show that we were featured in, one of the things you saw from Amy especially is she didn't clean up after her dog. Like, she just let the, you know, droppings fertilise the garden. So that's really, you know.
That's a pretty basic, commitment when you own a dog to pick up after them. I certainly make sure that I never leave the house without a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the other basics, Kate?
I think you need to provide, well, I know you need to provide a warm and cosy, dry place for them to sleep. That's weatherproof, especially if they're outside. And they need to be able to get away and out of the weather in winter, but they also need to be able to get cool and find shade in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Alan, what about in terms of their diet? You know, should people be feeding their pets leftovers?
No, pets, they need an adequate balanced diet. So that's quality pet food. Leftovers really aren't balanced. So you shouldn't be doing that. You can feed a little bit, but they shouldn't make up the majority of the diet. You need to have clean, cool water at all times. So you need to change that every day, at least once a day. And dogs and cats will need preventative health treatment. So they need vaccinations, they need to be wormed. And certainly in summer, you need to treat them for fleas.
Now, you know, if you have any questions for us, feel free to contact us via our email throughout the week as well, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can find all our information on how to get in touch with us on our program page on joy.org.au. Now, obviously, being the Lost Dogs Home, we do have quite a lot of information out there as well. So you can check out our website, which is dogshome.com. I believe we have some really good resources on the front page. Oz, do you know about those?
Yeah, there's a booklet about caring for a cat and caring for a dog. So they're I think it's just a click away from the homepage, and there you are. You have an abundance of information there.
I think that's part of the pet license that we have, online pet license you can take as well. So
yeah, and we would love to sort of touch on that in more detail later in the program.
That's all right. And so we're going to look at right now about discussing some of the hows and the whys of many animals find their way into the shelter.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
So you are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're here with Kevin, Oslam, Kate and Alan. And today we are discussing responsible pet ownership of dogs. Now, do you have something to add? Give us an SMS 0427-JOY-949. Email on air at joy.org.au or give us a call 1300-JOY-949.
Each year, the Lost Dogs Home's North Melbourne shelter receives around 25,000 dogs and cats, and a good portion of these arrive at the home as a result of irresponsible pet ownership.
Now, you know, working in the shelter, you're going to see a lot of different reasons. Kate, what are some of the reasons, and Alan, you weigh in this on it as well, what are some of the reasons we actually see dogs enter the shelter?
Well, it may not always be a reason, but we certainly see a lot of unkept dogs. So dogs that have long coats or continuously growing coats like poodles, Maltese, Shih Tzus, that would have been really, really cute puppies. And especially, you know, I can visualise them in a pet shop, that people would fall in love with them, but they may not have had the information given to them about the upkeep and responsibilities for taking on these dogs, such as regular grooming. You need to groom them every 6 to 8 weeks, and that could be at a cost of $70 to $80. So
I was just going to say, some people actually think grooming is just brushing your dog. It also, with, say, poodles or Maltese, it actually includes clipping them as well.
That's right. And some people don't realise. So we see a lot of dogs with heavily matted coats coming in. Actually, a proportion of the long-haired dogs come in with that. I guess it's cruelty through neglect or ignorance.
And you have to train them to allow you to do that from puppies. Mm. If you leave them until they're a year old and you haven't touched them, then it's much more difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that I have a border collie, so she needs to be brushed regularly. And first, when she was a puppy, she hated it, and it was all about wanting to play with the brush instead of actually sitting there and letting herself be brushed.
That's right.
Whereas now, because the brush comes out, she still kind of wants to play with it. She's only a puppy, but, you know, she actually will let me brush her now, which is good.
I suppose that brings us up to our next point, really. We get a lot of unruly dogs that end up at the home because of that. Kev, you, as we've mentioned in previous programs, you're into training and obedience. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I work a lot with Nicole Beasley of Planet Canine and doing stuff with our behaviour rehabilitation dogs. So these are dogs that might come into the shelter with behaviour problems, generally around their teenage years, which for a dog is only about 1 to 2. And it's because people don't realise that, you know, getting a dog to obedience classes early will actually give you this well-mannered dog. Like the first day I picked up my border collie, I actually went straight to a puppy preschool class. You know, I think that it's highly important. And as we saw in Don't Blame the Dog as well, like even puppies can be a bit, you know, a bit crazy sometimes and a bit unruly. And that's reasons why people actually will go, I can't look after this dog anymore. You also find it a lot during winter because of it's starting to get cold outside. So people don't want to walk their dog. They start going, and the dog starts playing up. They start digging in the backyard because they're bored and they're not stimulated. Mm. And it's also about being able to take your dog's places with you. So,
right.
You know, taking them to a restaurant and then or a park and going for a walk.
Mm. I think, a big part of the program, Don't Blame the Dog, which we're sort of using as a springboard into this discussion today, featured people's lack of commitment. And that's really important in terms of training and obedience to actually stick through the hard times.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's like a gym membership, you know, you sign up, and to get the results, you need to go.
Yeah.
And with dogs, it's the same. It's an ongoing commitment. It, you know, it can only be 10 minutes a night, but it's constantly reinforcing good behaviour. And that's your responsibility as a dog owner.
Except maybe a gym membership you don't keep for 10 to 15 years.
That's right. Exactly. Unless you're really committed.
Yeah, you're going to have to be. Now, Alan, what are some of the basic veterinary costs that we need to look at?
Well, I think dogs need vaccinating, and dogs need worming regularly, and they need flea treatment during the year.
Yeah, what about other things that we need to think about in terms of vet care? Like, you know, what about, is there anything about older dogs or anything like that? What are the kind of things we need to think about?
We see, it always saddens me personally, we see quite a lot of old dogs come into the shelter where people have looked after them for, 12, 15 years, and then at the end of their lives, they suddenly decide that they're just going to stop looking after them and abandon them. And I find that really, really difficult. It's one of the saddest things that we see day to day. I think that's not the experience that, you know, that a loved family pet should have at the end of its life.
Yeah, so I mean, it's important that we don't judge people, though. Like, we're not out there saying everyone's a bad pet owner, or the people that come in might not think that they're going to be a bad pet owner. Mm-hmm. They just might not have thought about different things.
Well, I suppose that was going to be my question, you know, in terms of being involved in the shelter. Don't you find it frustrating when you see people come with these sorts of cases?
That's just part of the job that we choose to do, and you can't get angry with people. We recognise that circumstances change. We never, ever turn people away. And at the end of the day, it's probably better that someone gives up their dog rather than early, so it's easier to rehome, rather than keeping it, you know, and neglecting it further.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's very important to take that consideration, commitment, dedication. Think about where you're going to be. Do your research beforehand, and you know, make sure that you're actually ready to get a dog.
And as part of that research, we mentioned earlier that there's a pet license test that you can take. I believe there's a link to it from our website, dogshome.com. This is really fantastic. It will give you a clear perspective on your current situation and whether you can take a new full-legged pet into your home.
Yeah, so after we hear from Madonna with Beautiful Stranger, we'll take a look at some of the things that you can do to be a responsible dog owner.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
I am Kevin.
And I'm Oslem.
And today...
well, it's Pets Allowed.
It is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Yep. We just said that. Do you want to go, Oz, or do you want me to?
Go right ahead, Kate.
Alrighty. Well, there we go. Today we are talking with Kate and Alan about responsible pet ownership, focusing on dogs in particular.
Kate, what do you think is on top of the list here?
I think way at the top is walking. Walking, walking, walking. Mm-hmm. It is so important. I was talking to our operations, general manager of operations during the week, and she said you have to stress how important walking is. And I actually walk my dogs twice a day. I mean, people should walk their dogs at least once a day, of course, on a lead, unless you're at an off-lead dog park. But yeah, I walk mine twice a day early in the morning, so that they're calm when I leave them and before I go to bed at night. I think it's really important also to walk your dogs around the block or down the streets, because that sort of mimics that roaming behaviour that dogs do. It's really important that they smell, they get to check out their surroundings, and that sort of stimulates their brain as much as it does give them exercise. Mm-hmm. Things change for dogs all the time as well. So you could walk the same block, which I actually do. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I'll change my route, but they'll pick up new smells because your neighbourhood's always changing. Different things are happening. It's midnight or curry night, or...
And they'll pick up on all sorts of things that we know nothing about. They can smell and hear things that we are completely oblivious to.
That's right, yeah. And they love it, you know, and I think it also gives them that routine as well. If they can predict, you know, at about 6 o'clock in the morning I'm going to go for my walk, or about 6 p.m. at evening I'm going to go for my walk, that gives them that sort of security as well.
And is it important to keep them on a lead? Because this came up a lot in the program.
Absolutely, yeah. I never let my dogs off a lead, because I'm actually very careful with them. You can never predict what's going to happen when you're on a walk. Like, you might have the best trained dog. I had a Labrador that was 14 years old, and he was well trained, and I could walk him off lead, but I actually made a mistake and had him off lead once and had an incident.
And I mean, and that's part of one of the other important things, which is about socialization and about obedience and things like that. So things such as group training classes, like we talked about earlier, you know, we have them at the Lost Dogs Home at Planet Canine. You know, everything like that is really important in raising that well-mannered dog as well. Now, Alan, just quickly, what are some of the social responsibilities that we should look at?
Well, looking after a dog isn't really just about you and your dog. Some of the preventative health things, so like de-sexing. De-sexing reduces wandering, it reduces frustration. And again, that's not just your dog. If you have an entire female dog and she's on heat, every male dog within 500 metres is going to be desperate to get at her. Vaccination is important because it's not just protecting your dog. We've actually eradicated serious diseases such as distemper, which we never see now. And worming is really, really important as a public health measure, because children can pick up roundworms and it can actually make them blind.
So responsible pet ownership is something that we could talk about for the whole hour if we really want to. And we're just trying to cover the basics of dogs and that sort of stuff. For more information about being a responsible pet ownership, I said that again, being a responsible pet owner, please check out our website at dogshome.com.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, we have received some questions in throughout the week for our Q&A segment with Dr. Alan Bolton. We might not be able to get to them right away, but be assured we will hang on to them and we'll get to them within the week.
contact us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
Now, Alan, today's question comes from John in St Kilda. He emailed in to say that he took his 11-year-old border collie. Oh, I love border collies. He took his 11-year-old border collie to the vet for her annual vaccination, and the vet suggested that he gets a bit of a blood test to check that everything was okay. Now, is this really necessary?
Look, I think we're all different in the amount we want to know about our health, but I guess prevention is generally better than cure, and many diseases that old dogs get are really insidious in onset, and the signs may be really subtle at first. So it's a bit like when you put on weight, you think you're going along fine, and then you meet someone who you haven't seen for months and they say you're looking well. If caught early, there are treatments available which can slow progression of diseases. So blood tests generally show up organic disease such as kidney failure, diabetes and liver disease. With certainly kidney disease, if you modify the diet, and there's special commercial diets which you can feed to animals with kidney failure, they actually slow the progression of the disease, make the animal feel much better, and they actually live longer. So the signs that you're looking for most of these diseases in older dogs are weight loss, poor appetite. Often they drink more, so you may find that the bowls are emptying quicker, but also you find that they're not holding on through the night, so you may find puddles, or they may wake you up to go out in the middle of the night. And often they start not really wanting to go for walks, and when they do go for walks, you notice that they're getting tired and they're lagging behind.
Now, Alan, you've actually got an older dog yourself. What are some of the things that you actually look at there?
My partner and I have got a really... Well, she's probably about 17 or 18 now. We've got a little chihuahua called Prudence.
Wow.
And we adopted her 2.5 years ago, and we really didn't think she'd still be here, but she's great. She's got heart disease, so she's on medication every day. So we wrap her pills in a bit of ham, and every time we go to the fridge, she's right there. She's also now getting a little bit deaf and a little bit, you know, a bit vacant at times. So she'll bark at things that aren't really there. But she's still really active. She walks with the other dogs. She plays. She loves checking out where we are. And it's been so much fun. I've never had an old dog before, and it's just... She brings so much joy to our lives. Really, it's just common sense. You just look after them as you would help an elderly person. Get as much out of life as possible.
Thank you so much for that, Alan. Now, remember, if you do have any concerns about your elderly pet, or if you're looking at adopting a mature age pet, definitely contact your vet. They'll be able to help you out for anything like that. Now, remember, you can email us questions to lostdogshome@joy.org. I can't say things today. lostdogshome@joy.org.au, and we'll answer them over the course of the grid. Coming up after Agnes, we're going to take a look at your pet's community calendar in Dog Day. You are on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.4.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
It is time for Dog Dates, your ultimate guide to events to add to your pet's social calendar. What's happening tonight, guys?
Well, this evening, Bali Nights 2012 is on. It's a cocktail party and fundraiser organised by the Bali Street Dogs to raise money for de-sexing and treatment of thousands of street dogs and cats in Bali. Because it's on tonight, tickets need to be pre-purchased. So do log on to their website, balistreetdogs.org.au, or call Liz on 03, obviously, 9629 4099. There's also a mobile number, 0411 728 929. That's the Bali Nights 2012 on this evening to raise money for Bali Street Dogs.
And now, Kate, what kind of microchipping events are coming up this weekend?
Well, the National Pet Register is going to be at two events this weekend. We are holding a microchipping day for the Casey City Council, and that will be at our Cranbourne shelter, 920 Thompson's Road, Cranbourne, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You need to book to get the $25 microchipping, and bookings close at 4 p.m. today. We'll also be out at the Spring Fling at Errol Street on Sunday from 11 a.m. We do that every year. It's a very fun community event for North Melbourne. As well as giving out the free ID tags, we will also be helping to judge the pet show and giving away a prize for that as well. If you're interested in finding out more about the events or booking in to have your pet microchipped, you can go to the Pet Register website at petregister.com.au, or you can call National Pet Register at 1300 1-800-734-738.
Also, a reminder, next Saturday, October 27, the Lost Dogs Home Pet Portraits in Studio Sessions will be taking place. So if you want to get that perfect shot of your dog or cat and yourself, do take note of this. The Lost Dogs Home Thelma Holt Training and Education Centre is where it will be at. The address for that is 13 Gracie Street, North Melbourne, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bookings are a must for these in-studio sessions. There are also on-location photo sessions as well that you will need to book for. So to find out more information, check out the Lost Dogs Home website, dogshome.com, and just click onto our news section. We have an article up there.
We will also have a full listing of all the events that we've talked about in Dog Dates on our Pets Allowed profile page on dogshome.com. If you have a community event you would like to add to Dog Dates, send us an email to lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Please include the email date, event date, location, a brief description of the event and your contact details. Kate, I can see you laughing.
Sorry. We're almost there, Kev.
Almost there. We're getting there. It's only week three. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Each week we will be putting a pet or a cat or dog in the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. So, Kate, who do we have this week?
This week we have the lovely Penny. Now, she's a 10-year-old terrier cross, and I took the time to go and meet Penny this morning, and she's a delicate little thing. She's very, very sweet. She was curled up on her bed when I went over there, but she came up to meet me for a cuddle. So I think she's going to be, while she's a mature dog, she'll be quite quiet, but there also was a bit of a spring in her step and a wag in her tail. So I think Penny will be happy to go for the odd walk, but also equally happy to be sitting beside you on the couch. Being an older dog, she may require some veterinary treatment later in the next few years, but she's de-sexed, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped and ready to adopt.
Now, if you want Penny's ID number, it is 922341, 922341. Now, if you missed that or if you just want further information on how to adopt her, check out the Lost Dogs Home website, dogshome.com, or contact our North Melbourne shelter on 9329 2755.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, we did just want to say a very quick happy birthday to one of our former residents, Sandy.
Yes, Sandy celebrated his 16th birthday this week. So a big happy birthday to you. And, he's very proud owner, Francis Dwyer, came in to share the story. So thank you for that.
And we do really appreciate hearing from some of our former residents. Now, you can read more about Sandy up. We'll be putting a story up about him on Sunday, I believe.
Yes, do have a look at the Lost Dogs Home website this Sunday to read more about Sandy.
Now, join us next week. We will be talking about cats. So if you do have any questions about responsible cat ownership at all, please feel free to email us on lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can also catch Don't Blame the Dog this Sunday at 7:30 on ABC2 if you wanted to watch that. Now, quickly, we did receive a couple more messages in. Oz, do you want to quickly cover those?
Yes, thank you to Jazz and Tim from Brunswick. They made a really good point about responsible pet ownership and to actually think about the commitment involved in looking after a dog. These listeners had two dogs. One has epilepsy and requires a lot of medical treatment. So the costs involved, Tim and Jazz were saying, are really important to think about.
And very thank you to Alex as well for sending us a message in saying it was a great show. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to the team here as well. And yeah, make sure you tune in on Sunday night for 7:30 on ABC2 for Don't Blame the Dog. Stay tuned for Sammy with Afternoon Joy. This has been The Lost Dogs Home with Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.